Welcome to Bee's Table Talk, the podcast in which we have great conversations about business and our economy. My name is Bee Kyle, the president and CEO of the St. Paul Area Chamber of Commerce. And in the short term, we've migrated our podcast to a Zoom format so we can continue our programming. In the weeks to come, we have several conversations scheduled with business leaders across various sectors. And as of this recording, as a nation and world, we are coping with the COVID-19 pandemic and the ensuing seizure of the economy. So the conversations ahead are especially thought-provoking. My guest today is a friend, SPAC board member, and talented executive in the arena of external affairs. Brianne Hamm is a regional vice president of institutional relationships at Securian Asset Management. She's been with Securian just shy of 6 years. She is a graduate of Luther College, and she got her MBA from the University of St. Thomas. Brianne, thanks for sitting down with me today.
Thanks, Bee. I'm glad to be here.
Me too. So as I said, our conversation is relevant given the pandemic in which we find ourselves coping. And currently, as of today, as of actually mid-June, we're in the midst of the phase three in our safe reopening plan. So let's get started. If you would, Brianne, maybe set the table and explain a little bit about who Securian is and how your company is being impacted right now.
Securian Financial, we are a large, broadly diversified financial services company. As one of St. Paul's largest employers, we're responding to and preparing for the challenges of the COVID-19 pandemic that continue. We've got cross-functional teams of Securian Financial leaders. They've taken steps to mitigate its potential impact on our business and our stakeholders. Our financial strength, though, is really what kind of puts us in a very good position to withstand the market turmoil. For example, going into the pandemic, we had considerable financial strength as this diversified organization. We were actually named to the Fortune 500 list earlier this year. But true to our humble...
congratulations.
Thank you. True to our humble nature, we are not publicizing this, but don't get us wrong. It is something that we are definitely thrilled about and very humbled by. But what helped achieve that strength was the investment portfolios. They were positioned very well going into the market volatility that later ensued. So for my role, I work in our institutional investment arm, and so it's kind of fun to see the spotlight now all of a sudden on our asset management division during this time, because everybody wants to know what's going on with the portfolios. Are we losing money? Are we making money? So as that institutional investment arm for the company, we typically kind of fly under the radar. As long as we're producing the returns and everything, it's fine. But it was exciting to see our team, and especially those investment professionals that, you know, get a little more attention and more kudos during this time. And I would offer one more example of how we've responded to the crisis impact, and it's regarding our commercial mortgage lending strategy. So something that, you know, is kind of making headlines right now with commercial real estate. We have a little over 800 loans that we service for our investors in that asset class. So probably over $5 billion is invested in commercial mortgage loans. And what we did early on was proactively offer interest only for 4 months to retail and hotel owners. So I just thought I'd use that as an example of one of many ways that we are being impacted and how we are responding to that impact, because we don't want those owners to go into default. You know, it's better for the both of us. So what's a mutually beneficial way to move forward, and that's what we keep trying to do.
Well, I can speak personally to my personal observations and experience of Securian being such a steward of the community, and how grateful we are that among our largest companies in this community, Securian stands strong and is always such a great partner. So which makes this conversation so much fun. So thanks for that.
Oh, cool. Yeah, thank you. And, you know, one other thing I can offer, since it's kind of hot off the press as of this morning, was our enterprise update with our CEO. We typically have been getting these on a weekly basis, ranging anywhere from, you know, 15 to 30 minutes, just kind of a quick hit to let us all know what, you know, top leadership is, the decisions they're making, what they're thinking. And this morning, he was able to address kind of where we're at on our crisis management plans. Priority one was take care of people who count on us, right? So that's associates, customers, community. We've been responding to that pretty much instantaneously. Step two was to protect that financial strength that I talked about. And that's where, you know, our asset management group has been able to really help with that. Now, step three is preparing for the future. And what does that look like? So what he spoke about was really being able to elevate specific elements within our existing strategic plan. So instead of going forward and just, you know, washing out everything you've already worked on, we're not going to introduce a new plan. We're going to work on focusing and accelerating the priorities within the work we're already doing. A couple key pieces there would be transforming our digital engagement. For instance, our group benefits enrollment, our life insurance new business with financial professionals, really transforming how that digital engagement works for them. Simplifying our product portfolio. And then lastly, reimagining the way that we go about our work. And Chris Hilger made a good point as to the fact that we will need to de-emphasize some work to diligently deliver on this shift of focus in certain priorities. So it was a good message to hear from our CEO this morning.
I appreciate you sharing that. Thanks, Brianne. You know, we're as interested in how you operate as a company as you are in the services you provide for your clients. To some degree, you know, businesses are really looking at one another and asking, how are you preparing for this ongoing economic challenge, the pandemic, what the rest of the future looks like? Are you able to share a little bit about what Securian's preparedness plans look like moving forward?
I am. So I would start by saying the well-being of Securian Financial's associates, customers, partners, and community has always been at the core of our purpose for 140 years since our founding. I'm guessing what you really want to know, though, is when we're coming back to the office, right?
That's a big question. Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, we all want to know that. And, you know, we're not shy about sharing our thoughts on it with our neighbors. However, the disclaimer is that decisions on our ability to return to the office are the dates and on workspace preparations will be informed by health and safety data. So it's a focus on prioritizing physical distancing, minimizing touch points, etc. The tagline that we're using is data driven, not date driven. So that's the disclaimer.
Isn't that nice?
Before,
very nice.
Right? We have a good marketing team. They come up with some good slogans. But I would say phase one. So we currently are in phase zero, right? Which is mandatory working from home environment. Phase one would be volunteers. So when I say that, I mean up to 10% of our workforce who would volunteer to want to return to the office in some capacity. We are hoping to be able to welcome them no earlier than sometime in August. So it, again, data-driven, not date-driven, so it certainly could be after August, but that was the information shared thus far. Phase two would be those whose roles are more challenging to accomplish remotely, and it would be probably about up to 25% of the workforce. That would probably occur no earlier than, I believe, mid-September. And then phase three would be all associates, but it would be capped at 50% on-site at one time. So think, you know, rotational with other team members, think staggered work shifts, just to kind of minimize that traffic congestion, so to speak, especially in the elevators, right? And that would probably be rolled out no earlier than a mid-October date range. So that's kind of where we're at. Again, data-driven, not date-driven.
Very, very helpful. Very helpful.
Yeah.
And of course, we're tenants in one of Securian's buildings, and we've got our masks on when we're in your building because we appreciate what you're doing in terms of laying out guidelines for your tenants as well.
Yeah, and I can share a little bit of additional guidelines that we have going on right now. from an associate standpoint, you know, we implemented mandatory remote work environments. However, associates in roles that must be completed in the office do continue to report to work, obviously. We are deemed essential service. There is a health attestation, so everyone who enters our facilities are attesting that neither they nor any member of their household are experiencing CDC-defined COVID-19 symptoms. Thermometers are made available to essential on-site associates. We've implemented COVID-19 paid leave benefit to take care of yourself or your family members so that you don't feel that pressure to come in, right? Providing free parking for associates working on site in St. Paul who might not have contracts currently in our ramps. That's for the duration of the work from home period. We've confirmed that COVID-19 testing and related office visits will be covered 100% under our medical insurance plan. We've implemented enhanced sanitation procedures on our campus, posted signage to support those policies, those social distancing guidelines. We've offered free breakfast and lunch to associates working on site in St. Paul. That was through the end of May, just being that many local restaurant options were closed. We waived monthly contract parking fees for associates, offered that match, which we can talk a little bit more about later, if the associate so chooses to donate that to a charity. We provided cloth face coverings for those essential on-site associates as well. Last, I would just say we also made some changes to our 401k plan, so to provide some additional financial flexibility to associates who may be in need, we have amended our 401k to allow for relief made available under the CARES Act. And you know, one thing I would like to touch on too, B, is how we've continued to honor our diversity and inclusion efforts. We've maintained partnerships with small, local, and diverse businesses throughout this time. And I know you can appreciate that because we often talk about how to diversify the supply chain, especially locally. And also after that civil unrest our community experienced, one of our first actions was to add our chief diversity officer to our grants committee for our foundation. So he's able to ensure that the organizations we are granting funds to also align with our values and our equity initiatives that we have. I think that's a really good example of how we are able to use our influence and our power in the community, not just donations. So,
you know, I just really, really appreciate that. You know, we talk regularly about not only the power of one, which is the power that you have to impact the life of another through simple acts of inclusion and engagement. And also we have this extraordinary agency, and each of us has power and agency within our area of operations. And to acknowledge that and then use it for advancing the broader community is really quite extraordinary. And you've given us a great example of the agency that you acknowledge and that you choose to focus on your priorities. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes.
Well, you know, when we talk, this is leading me beautifully into my next question, which has to do with the conversations that are being had across the community. When we talk about returning to normal, what does that look like? There's been a real visceral reaction against this concept of returning to normal, that indeed a large sector of the marketplace can attest to historic experience of normal doesn't work for everybody. And if you don't understand that, by golly, you haven't been paying enough attention, that indeed what we want right now instead of returning to normal is this reimagining of something new. And after the tragedy of the loss of George Floyd, perhaps the one good thing that can come out of such a horrific moment is the fact that we no longer have the luxury of distraction from to other things, that figuring out not only how to rebuild, but also reimagine what a better future could look like. Tell me, what does that mean to you?
Yeah. Oh, that's an excellent question. The word that comes to mind is resiliency. You know, it's being able to adapt to change, right? What our community is experiencing right now is a need for change. And you know me, I like tangible takeaways, offering actionable items, you know, okay, what's the tasks we need to do? Let's check them off. Yeah. But I'm really going to speak a little more lofty here, because I think the answers to this question are going to begin with big picture thinking and visioning. So When I say resiliency, you know, I'm thinking Securian's been around for 140 years. Heck, we want 140 more. You know, as an insurer, we make a promise to pay to our customers. So we are continuously preparing to honor that process amidst all the change. So for us, it's all about the resiliency. You know, we live by our guiding principle to do the right thing today to build secure tomorrows. And we've got to be resilient.
Do the right thing today to build. I got to write that down. Do the right thing today to build a secure tomorrow. Really, really good.
It's really good. Yeah. And it's cheesy, but it's great. I like it.
So do the right thing today to build a...
To build secure tomorrows.
A secure tomorrow. Okay, great. Because, and I would, it's interesting you talk about you are task oriented, you want to get stuff done, and you have to start lofty here. I would agree with that. And I would say you and I are similar creatures in that way. I tend to get impatient with group conversation that doesn't have a pointed outcome or body of work that we're executing on. And yet, for you to say that, I just completely agree with you that we need to be in listening mode right now. Because the truth is, if you and I knew what to do to create an equitable marketplace and a more resilient future, it would be done already. So
we'd be doing it, right?
We shouldn't consider ourselves prepared to actually do it. So perhaps the ideas and the innovation and how we can do things differently can come from other places. So bringing people together in listening mode, I think, is really important. I know the mayor and the county and other governmental entities across our community, and I'm sure across the country, are having town hall meetings to listen to what is the community telling you they want. Don't do something to us, do something with us. Let us tell you what we think, what we want, what we need, and then help us build that, which is really quite revolutionary.
Yeah, oh, agreed. I mean, and we're really trying to maintain an open dialogue on all aspects of what the future will bring. Information sharing regarding, you know, any of our protocols. We all need to rely on our neighbors to navigate these times together. So we appreciate that open dialogue everyone is having.
Well, and on the note of you appreciate your neighbors, I want to talk to you about paying it forward, which of course I like. I like the phrase. In St. Paul, we've built out in partnership with the city and the county and all of our East Team partners this idea about paying it forward, or economic first responders, which economic first responders is what we're doing, providing technical assistance to economic needs that our businesses have. But what hits the heartstrings more and what gives you immediate understanding is this idea of paying it forward. You've received good in one way, shape, or form. You have talents and treasures. You can pay them forward and serve the broader community in so doing. I want to give you an opportunity to talk about how Securian is paying it forward. And I know you don't like to talk about this much, which is why I'm asking this pointed question to pull it out of you. Securian is doing some very exciting things in the way of paying it forward. Can you just give me a couple examples?
Yeah, happy to. We take a ton of pride in our community initiatives, but as you know, we've noted in the past, we've always been a little more humble about expressing them. And there's a lot of them lately. We definitely feel the responsibility to do our part right now, and it's authentic to our values since our inception. So I will give you a few examples of some of our most recent standouts. This past weekend, we were able to help support the Serving Our Troops event up north at Camp Ripley. Our CEO sent a video message to the troops. Minnesota National Guard members were deployed to Africa, or are currently being deployed to Africa. So what we do is we, you know, support this organization, Serving Our Troops, which hosted a farewell steak dinner up at Camp Ripley, I believe. So family members can, you know, virtually, of course, during the social distancing time, share a meal before deployment. We donated early on in the pandemic nearly 30,000 masks to the Minnesota Nurses Association and other organizations that to really help fill that drastic shortage that healthcare workers were facing. And it's funny because I always get the question, well, what the heck were you doing with all those masks? Well, right? You're a financial services company. Well, you know, like I said, we really try to meet that promise to pay. And so we'll do everything that we, you know, feel as possible to make sure we're able to do that as an organization. We had a large supply of these masks in storage. They were fully wrapped, unopened boxes since 2009, when our then medical director had made the decision to purchase them as precaution during the N1H1 outbreak. So we kept them, we remembered that we had them, and we were able to get them back into the community to really kind of meet that need. Very close to home are also our tenants, you being one of them. So thank you, B.
Yes, ma'am.
We are in regular contact with them to discuss their specific situations and brainstorm ideas on how to support them through this time. We've provided rent abatement and or reduction for usually a minimum of 2 months for many of the small business tenants on our campus. And then I'd also comment on some of the most recent foundation actions we've had. Our associates have donated, and our foundation have donated, I know it's over $1 million at this point, to support our community partners, including Second Harvest Heartland, Minnesota Disaster Recovery Fund, the St. Paul Bridge Fund, the We Love Midway St. Paul Fund. We gave a guaranteed gift of $250,000 to Second Harvest Heartland, and they were able to actually promote that match from at the end of March. During that time, an additional $400,000 was raised. We also donated $250,000 to the Minnesota Disaster Recovery Fund, which is through the St. Paul and Minnesota Foundation. And I think to date, they're up to $11 million raised for that fund. 100% of contributions are being distributed to grant-making organizations for disaster recovery efforts. And we made a $50,000 contribution to the St. Paul Bridge Fund. So very close to home here where we're headquartered. And we appreciate that public-private partnership with the City of St. Paul and area companies to help provide low-income families with rent and mortgage support, along with small business support. And then finally, I would add that we were able to combine an associate assistance opportunity with donations for multiple nonprofits, Neighborhood House, Safe Zone, NAMI, and the Santa Foundation. With 95% of our St. Paul associates working from home, we offered nearly 1,500 contract parkers the opportunity to have their monthly parking fees added to their paycheck or donate it back to the community. And our foundation would match that donation. And, you know, we were pretty proud to say that many of our associates did participate, and we were able to do that match for a number of organizations. Now, I believe We Love St. Paul, We Love Midway was the most recent recipient. So,
yes, we were. And I have to say, we jumped for joy at that opportunity. And frankly, I am continually amazed by the human spirit, as demonstrated by your employees who are donating money into the community in a way that they simply don't have to. Frankly, the We Love St. Paul, We Love the Midway Fund is coming in $50, $100. We've gotten anonymous donations of $25,000. I'm not exaggerating. Others for $10,000. You just don't see this. Again, this is, for me, $25 is to you, $500 is to someone else, clearly $25,000. But the point is, people are paying it forward in ways that are really meaningful to them. And this is such a tremendous example. And I wanted to be able to celebrate that. I'm glad you're willing to allow me to talk about that, because that was really very exciting for us to see Securian lead in that way.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think we all have a need to be part of the solution. And I really enjoy the way that, you know, my organization is able to provide employees with multiple avenues in how to be part of that solution.
Very, very fun. And so I have one final question for you too, Brian, which has to do with the community at large. So when I look at chambers and how they function in the business community, I regularly ask my clients, my investors, my members, and larger business community, what exactly is the value of a chamber to them? Because I'm always really interested in, you know, let's talk Securian. You're now a Fortune 500 company. You are an extraordinary machine, and yet you invest in your community and you invest in your chamber. What would you say is the value of a chamber of commerce?
Yeah. Thank you for asking this question, because I do believe it's a very critical one at this time. Securian and St. Paul Area Chamber of Commerce have a very long, long partnership, and we're happy to continue that. You know, I do think, to me, when I first think of St. Paul Area Chamber of Commerce, I think that it is a critical convener. It is where connections are made through the chamber that are truly invaluable, places where I would not typically be able to make those connections. So for me, when I first started becoming more active with the chamber, that is almost instantaneously what I noticed. And it really helped elevate myself into that business community. I'd say second is the advocacy arm for our East Metro. To me, the chamber is the voice of commerce for our region. And lastly, I would say the focus on equity initiatives and educating our workforce. Obviously, as we've, you know, now are responding to, this is critical immediate work that needs to happen. And I like that, you know, for us, the chamber is in the forefront of that work. I mean, the voice of business in St. Paul and the East Metro is kind of the tagline that I think of when I think of the chamber. I think now more than ever, that voice must be heard. You know, our city's tagline, St. Paul is a great place to live, work, and play. We need to do a little bit more on that work leg, and that's where the chamber comes in. In order for our community to succeed, we need to smartly grow, especially in, you know, commercial and light industrial tax base in St. Paul and the East Metro, to relieve the burden on residents. You know, we need to continue to advocate for jobs. We need to, you know, lure the risk takers, the entrepreneurs, the employers who provide those jobs. And that's just one piece of the value that I think the chamber adds here.
Really appreciate that. Thank you so much, Brianne. Well, I'm looking at the clock. Unfortunately, we run out of time. And just these times go by so quickly. But I really wanted to thank you again, Brianne, for chatting with me. I appreciate both your time and all that your organization is doing on behalf of this greater metropolitan region, the state, and actually your entire client base. So thanks again for your time.
Yeah, you're most welcome. And I would say the best way that we can use this platform right now is probably to voice the need for any additional support from other organizations in our rebuilding efforts. So for any of those listening, please consider, you know, making any sort of a contribution that you can to our We Love Midway, We Love St. Paul Fund, and we will put the money to good use. So shameless plug there for that one, B. Sorry.
And I appreciate you doing that. Thank you. And thanks to all of you for joining us for B's Table Talk. We have more conversations in the weeks ahead, speaking to business leaders in the greater MSP region, hearing from them on how their companies are adapting to deal with COVID-19, how they are paying it forward in the community. And so I thank all of you for listening, and we will see you in the trenches.